This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. Today I want to talk to you about faith. Now, I don't mean faith like he's a Catholic, he's a Protestant, he's a Muslim, he's a Buddhist. No, I don't mean that kind of faith. I mean the kind of faith that's conviction. That you have the conviction that your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you're following the instructions of the spiritual master will deliver the desired result. We have the situation in this material world where everyone questions because everybody's been cheated. You've been told that this is the situation and it's not. You've been told you can do this, but you can't. You've been told that it's okay and that it isn't. So in so many instances in our lives, we're all skeptical. We're skeptical because of our experiences and being misled or cheated. And so when we come to spiritual life, we go, okay, well, I want to come to the platform of God consciousness. And I see that so many different perspectives and so-called approaches to that. So I'm skeptical of what's real, what's not, which one works. Well, in essence, all of the religious practices that are real work. It isn't that God can only be approached by one method, nor is it true that God can be approached by any method. The reality is there are bona fide religions on the planet that have been instigated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through His chosen representatives. And if you follow the method described by His representatives, described in the respective scriptures, it works. If you try to make something up, there'll be no result. And if you follow something that isn't a real religion, it's a mental concoction, it doesn't work. So there are a few paths, yes, but they have to be, it's called bona fide, they have to be authentic. Now, if you're practicing an authentic religious approach to God consciousness, you have to have the faith it will be effective. So faith is required on your part. You have to go ahead and, in the beginning, follow because it's instruction. Until you come to the point where you understand, ah, yes, this is working. That's true. I didn't see it in perspective previously, but I see it now. I didn't understand the complexities or the implications, but I do now. And you look back and you go, well, having faith in the directions I was given has proven to be worthy. It's been authentic. And this builds faith such that other instructions that you may have been hesitant to accept or to follow or to maybe even understand, you can then say to yourself, well, I have experience that this is a bona fide path and that it is clarifying issues to me as I mature, then I may not understand this one yet, but if I follow, the result will be there. And this is true over and over and over and over. And that's why it's said in the Bhagavad Gita that faith is required for liberation. But to actually come to the platform where you're free from the misconception of the material manifestation, free from the misconception that you're the body, and aware of the reality that you are an eternal servant of God, and that your responsibility in the human form is to reawaken your God consciousness and develop the servant attitude. I mean, let's be honest. The entire cosmic manifestation, I don't mean this planet or this country, I mean this entire universe times millions of universes, is the creative, external creative energy of the Lord. And you're not capable of that. You aren't the master of the person who creates an unlimited number of universes, both material and, again, spiritual universes. This is not your making. So you're not the top dog, okay? And if you understand that, okay, I'm down the ladder quite a ways, then my relationship to the top dog is I do what he wants. I'm his servant. He's not my servant. And this is one of the problems that people bring with them to religion. They think that God is your order carrier, your servant. Lord, I need this. Give me that. Protect me from the next thing. Sort this out for me. Give me guidance. The Lord's going to go, oh, yeah, sure, right away. Yeah, I'll get that for you. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, I'll send it tomorrow. No. It's the other way around. We are to dovetail ourselves with his plan. We aren't supposed to be demanding of him to sustain our plan. And many people come to religion with that conception. Lord, I need this. I want that. Fix this. All of those things are selfishness. It's not spirituality. Spirituality begins when one becomes selfless. We've discussed this many times on our program that you have to get above the selfishness. You have to get to the selflessness, doing something without expectation of something in return. If you're doing something for supposedly something spiritual or to please the Lord, when you're expecting something in return, this is not servitude, devotion. This is business. I give you this, you give me that. Business, trade, transaction. That is not what is spiritual life is about. Spiritual life is where you recognize your true position. Eternal servant to the eternal Lord. He is unlimited. I am very limited. Therefore, he is the controller. I am the order carrier. You want something from me? You want something done, Lord? You have a plan that I can include me? Humbly approaching the Lord to be engaged. Now, once you get the job, shall we say, once you get engaged in the spiritual perspective of life, in the service of the Lord, you can be convinced, you can be assured, you can be confident of success. You just have to have faith. Gradually, that faith is proven correct. And it grows into respect. It grows into gratitude. It grows into love. It grows into an eternal commitment to render service for the satisfaction of the Lord, not yourself. No business, but selfless devotional service. And when you're in that position and you see that the transaction, the interaction, and the support you get is far greater than going to the Lord asking, give me this, I want that, fix this, you become full of faith. If I please the Lord, he takes care of me out of his will, not business. He can reward me or he can not reward me, but he's still the master and I'm still the servant. So too many people think that spiritual life means getting in on the good side of the Lord and making demands. And the Vedic literature says no. Spiritual life means giving up my selfishness and being concerned about the Lord's plan, the Lord's desires, the Lord's needs from me, and not worrying about having faith that the Lord will take care of his servant. Now, it's said in Vedic literature that one should declare it boldly that the Lord's servant never perishes. He is never overtaken by evil. The Lord sees to it. Just like the father takes care of the child can't protect himself, but the father's always watching. The parents are always overviewing. I'll make sure he doesn't get burnt, make sure he doesn't drown, make sure no danger, no damage, no threat. Because of the love. The parents love the child and protect it, therefore. Similarly, the Lord loves his servants and protects them. And he has the capacity to protect you in any situation, in any place, at any time, under any type of circumstances. So one has to have faith. Faith that the selfless devotion to the Lord's plan puts one in the Lord's category of servant of God. And the Lord declares it, that the servants of God are never overcome. They are always given protection. And that builds the faith in the servant, such that, well, the Lord may reward me for this service, or he may not. Or he may accumulate all sorts of different things and then suddenly give me something amazing. He is independent to reciprocate, to reward you how he wishes. We aren't dictating that. We don't have that right. We simply carry out the service assigned to us and do the best job we can do. And the result is for the Lord's credit. It's not for mine. I am a servant. I am a servant whether I do a big important job or I do a little insignificant and menial job, but I'm still the Lord's servant. That's my concern, that my bit of service, whatever that may be, great or small, I'm doing it to the best of my ability to see to it that the Lord is pleased with the result. This builds faith. Because the Lord always rewards his sincere servant. So we have to be careful not to take our service and our approach to spiritual life as a business exchange. We have to be careful not to take it on a demands basis. Give me this. Come on, I need it. Hurry, quick. I'm in trouble. Whoa. Okay. So we have an influence on the outcome by the degree of surrender and by the degree of faith. So the Vedic literature says one should surrender to the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Sri Krishna and accept none other as his refuge. And that one should engage in devotional service sincerely and humbly, even if he does not see an immediate result. And in both instances, he should have selfless faith in the causeless mercy of the Lord, and that he will see to it that his servant is cared for and protected in the most dangerous type of circumstance. This is real spiritual life. Spiritual life isn't something warm and fuzzy. Spiritual life isn't something that takes all responsibility off your back so you can live in a utopia mentality. It is a transition of consciousness. And that transition is like, has its birth pains. You have to become detached from this material manifestation and these material things and places and people. And you have to become attached to the service of the Lord. In the Lord's wishes, favorably it's called, to the Lord's plan. And one has to be patient and faithful, awaiting the Lord's reciprocation, which is at his discretion, not yours. You are not demanding from God. This is foolishness. So, when one is in a state of faithful devotional service, he's in his normal condition of life. This is the destination. It doesn't mean place. It means state. This is the destination of the intelligent human being to raise himself to this devotional service platform where he's selflessly engaged for the satisfaction of the Lord with faith and determination and patience. And the Lord is most impressed by the devotion, the love and the devotion with which one executes his service. However elaborate or menial the service might be, that's not important. You can offer a fruit, a flower, a cup of water to the Lord. And if it's done with the proper love and devotion, you can get the highest return. Some people may offer 10 tons of food. They may offer unlimited opulences and riches and wealth. And the Lord's not impressed if there's no devotion. And if there's no selfless devotion, if there's no concern about what does the Lord want, if the Lord come to your house and said, please give me a drink, a cup of water, and you shower all these gifts and riches and cloth and anything you can think of, you bring all this stuff, but neglect the water, no benefit is gained. Even though you've showered all this wow stuff. But when you actually reciprocate, what did the Lord want? He wanted a cup of water. I immediately deliver a cup of water. The Lord is pleased. All of the opulence, all of the value, external perceived value, means nothing. It's what does the Lord want? Water. Similarly, he asked for water, but you could also provide him a cloth too. Maybe he would like to use some of that water to rinse his face or wash his hands. And you've forethought. You've added a little bit more service, added a little bit more devotion. This pleases the Lord. Not flooding the room with opulences and all sorts of things and a big production over this or that when he just asked for a cup of water. So the consciousness of the servant has to be in harmony with the requests of the master. It has to anticipate the needs of the master. It has to be service rendered selflessly with devotion and love. That will please the master in all circumstances. This is spiritual life. Everything else is selfish life. That's material. You become selfish, you have a material perspective of life right then and there. Instantly, bang. And you then stop and reevaluate and you say, well, how can I render some service to the Lord? What does he want of me? What will make him happy? And you do that, that's spiritual life. And you can jump in and fall out as many times, as often as you wish or will until you're steady. You're steady in your determination, you're fixed in your consciousness, you're focused on the objective and goal, and you're selfless in the devotion to whatever it is the Lord asks of you. That's called fixed up in devotional service. And one never falls down once he's fixed up. He does not fall down into the material world, into the selfishness that everyone else is in. He's actually on a platform. It's not like he's flying in space in a beautiful plane and it's going to run out of gas any minute and he's going to crash. No, he's actually in a higher platform where he's secure. Security in the service of the Lord is real security. Temporary security here in the material world has no value. It's simply expenditure of time. So don't spend your time trying to make an adjustment, an arrangement, and a situation in the material world where you feel stable. Spend your time while you're here in the material world qualifying for selfless devotional service. Because this faithful mentality, this continued devotion and service is what goes on in the spiritual world, where there is none of the sufferings and problems and anxieties that we have in the material world. So the service can be done, even though this place is so contaminated, if you change your consciousness. And that qualifies you to return to the spiritual world in direct, intimate, ongoing, eternal, loving service to the Lord in the spiritual world, where the place is spiritual, the place is eternal, so the service can be eternal. And that means that the happiness will be eternal. We don't have eternal happiness here because we don't have eternal existence here. And the place is constantly degrading. Constantly something's breaking, falling apart, getting dirty, getting old. Always, constantly. So the intelligent person sees the difference between the material interaction and the spiritual interaction. The material place and environment and the spiritual place and environment. And he recognizes the link between the two types of reality is the service of God. If I enter, engage in service right here, right now, with my free will, under the instructions of a bona fide religion, bona fide spiritual master, bona fide scriptures, I can get on the train of spiritual service, of eternal life. I get on the train right here. There is a station, and you can get on that train, and it goes right into the spiritual world, and it never ends. That service is continued in the spiritual world. That's liberation. That's perfection. That is normal. All of the things we're going through here, they're not normal. They're temporary. They're adjustments in a suffering environment. So the Vedic literature clearly says that with faith, one can attain that devotional consciousness. One can attain the devotional service. One can get on the devotional train back to the spiritual world. It starts here. You get practiced. You go there. You continue and perfect it. That's normal. We are eternal spiritual beings. And we have an eternal spiritual relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So going back to that platform is normal. Here in the material world, bodily conception of life, I'm the boy, you're the girl, there's kids, there's money, there's house, there's trouble, there's work, there's occupational duty, there's so many influences, problems, etc., etc. That's not reality. That's the temporary suffering, and everybody's struggling to understand, how do I fix the problems? Now, we have a very interesting situation in the now, that the entire human population is under mind control, and they don't know it. Now, this is real mind control. If you don't know it, that's really mind control. If you know it, it's voluntary. But if you don't know it, it's actually mind control. And you're being told what to value, what is important, who is the truth speaker, who is the liar. You're being told. You're not making a conscious awareness or decision. You might think you are, because that's the nature of mind control. Mind control is to convince you to come to a conclusion while at the same time thinking you made the decision. And yet, I don't know of anybody who made the decision at a child level to be a meat eater. Or anyone who made the decision at the adolescent level that I wanted to work the whole rest of my life away to make money and pay bills. Nobody made a decision. Nobody made the decision, I want to be in this material world and suffer, struggle to get money, to get food, to get shelter. You're not making these decisions. I don't want to be a consumer. I don't want to go buy things I don't need. But everybody does. So these are symptoms that mind control is being instigated on the human population. And they don't know it. But the result, the symptoms, are easy to see once you step out of the program. The cell phones, the television, you think they are cell phone towers. Their broadcast, subliminal messages, subliminals in the parking lot at the store, subliminals pulsing out of your phone, the frequencies manifesting in the electricity system. It's on and on and on and on and on, and it forms an invisible grid that makes you think that while you're suffering here in the material world and getting old and not wanting to do it, etc., you're happy. And your quest to find love of God and to enter into devotional service, to get the key, to get on the train, to go back home, go back to Godhead, isn't very important. That's mind control. And that's what the entire human society is under. Maybe the day will come when the sun will solar flare, flicker everything, and shut down all the electronics. And the people's minds will be freed again. Then they're going to go, well, wait a minute. Everything that's going on here isn't very important. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, fine, I got that. But what's to do? The answer is to get on the devotional service train and prepare your way out of here. You're not going to get to stay no matter what you do. You cannot make it that you stay in this material world permanently. Your body, your experience, your duration of life, it is finite. And you will be kicked out. So the intelligent person, he's making arrangements that when he's kicked out, he knows where he's going. And he's going to the spiritual world. He's not going anyplace else inferior. He's looking for eternal devotional service in the association of the Lord, in complete happiness and selfless service in the association of others that are rendering that service and have the same selfless mentality and the same cooperative mood and the same eternal happiness. That's the intelligent path. That's the bona fide path. That is what having a bona fide religious scripture, a bona fide spiritual master, and a bona fide method to achieve love of God is all about. The Vedic literature teaches you everything you need to know. Everything about where you're going in the spiritual world. Everything about the Lord personally, his desire, his activity, his friends, his pastimes, everything. It's all explained in fantastic detail. This is the opportunity that the Vedic literature is providing you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.